On today's episode of Locked On, Oilers life without Leon, getting protection for Connor, and the Edmonton Oilers skills competition. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're going to start off with life without Leon. As Leon Draisaitl has missed the last couple of days of practice, and Jay Woodcroft fueling the fire as to what's really going on with Leon Draisaitl. We will talk about that in just a second. But also on today's episode, we're going to take a look at getting some grit for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sick of having this conversation, but yet here we are again after another clear knee-on-knee between Connor McDavid and Mackenzie Weegar. And nobody went after Weegar. So we will talk about that a little later on in today's episode. And to wrap up today's episode as well, yesterday on December 28th, the Edmonton Oilers had their skills competition. Now, no, I'm not going to talk about the skills competition itself. I want to talk about some of the results. There's some pretty interesting results coming out of the Edmonton Oilers skills competition this year. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And where we're going to start off today is with, as mentioned, Leon Draisaitl. As the Edmonton Oilers and Leon Draisaitl specifically has not been at practice at Edmonton Oilers, for the last couple of days. Now, Jay Woodcroft today before flying off to Seattle suggested that potentially Leon Draisaitl may miss tomorrow's game against the Kraken. Now, he didn't specifically say yes or no, he will be or won't be in the lineup. But when asked about Leon's current status for the game, he said, "We'll see." Now, if you know Jay Woodcroft, he likes to play these little games. He doesn't always really give you what the lineup will be. Think of even when Warren Fogle was getting healthy again for the Edmonton Oilers. Even then, he's not exactly Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid. Even then, when asked if Fogle will be in the Oilers lineup, he said he will be a player available. Never said he was going to be in the lineup, but someone who was available for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, the Oilers heading to Seattle, a team who is in the division with the Oilers, who is currently ahead of the Edmonton Oilers in the standings, fighting for a playoff spot. And will the second best player in the world play in the game? If you're Seattle, you're taking a look going, "Oh no, does Leon Draisaitl play in this game?" Because the coach currently right now goes, "We'll see." Doesn't exactly instill trust in many people. So, if Leon Draisaitl is not able to go, which would be something considering he played almost the entire playoffs with a severely sprained ankle. And yes, and he played with the ankle injury, but we all know how bad that ankle injury truly was. So if he's hurt, we shall see. I mean, again, it's a regular season, not playoffs. You can take some of those bumps off. But if the Oilers are without Leon Draisaitl, what will the lines look like? Well, I came up with three mock lineups, and mostly the top six stays the same in all three, but it's the bottom six that really gets affected with Leon Draisaitl's absence. But I think it could allow for some pretty interesting combinations for the Oilers. So, Let's take a look at the first lineup, potential lineup for the Edmonton Oilers heading into the game against the Seattle Kraken. As we have the same first line as the Oilers have rolled with for the last couple of games. Zach Hyman lining up alongside Connor McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi. Now the second line of Warren Fogle, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Kyler Yamamoto. Not a bad line there. I'm going to be honest here. I don't mind that line. Fogle has had a very solid last couple of games, got rewarded with a game-winning goal. I believe it was a game-winning goal against Dallas, one of the ones that definitely put the game on ice either way, and has been playing really well in the top six. A guy that a lot of guys in the dressing room like and has gotten a lot of really good ice time recently. So not bad for right now for the Edmonton Oilers and the top six, but this is where the changes start to happen. Matthias Janmark on the third line with Ryan McLeod and Clean Costin, and Dylan Holloway on the fourth line with Devin Shore and Derek Ryan. The real big change there, obviously, Ryan McLeod going up to the third line and Devin Shore being the player getting ice time instead of James Hamblin. But then that got me thinking, going, okay, now you got Shore back in the lineup, and at times, the best line for the Edmonton Oilers had Devin Shore and Derek Ryan, but it wasn't Dylan Holloway who was on the wing for those players. That is why in our second mock lineup here for the Oilers, we have a little bit of a shift, and it may seem like a bit of a demotion for one player, but really how this line played all together at points during the season, it's pretty much a line 3B, if you ask me. But either way, Zach Hyman, Connor McDavid, and Jesse Puljujärvi still make up the top line. Fogle, Nugent-Hopkins, and Yamamoto on the second line. And then on the third line, Dylan Holloway getting bumped up to the third line to be with Ryan McLeod and Matthias Janmark. You can flip-flop those wings either way. It doesn't matter to me. And then Clean Costin going down to the fourth line with Devin Shore and Derek Ryan. We already had this conversation at one point earlier this year about how important that fourth line is for the Edmonton Oilers, especially with Costin, Shore, and Ryan. Devin Shore has been the Edmonton Oilers' best defensive forward so far this year. You can even make the argument he's been the Edmonton Oilers' best defensive player. If you take a look at the stats, the goals against per 60 minutes for Devin Shore, he sits first in all situations and second at 5-on-5. So you get what you're not getting from most of the team with that line, and that is defensive organization. And that's going to help the Edmonton Oilers, especially down the stretch especially down the stretch when they are against Pacific Division rivals in games where points, no matter what, are important. And I was listening to John Shannon mention today on Oilers Now, and a lot of these games now for teams are within the Pacific Division, or at least the Pacific Division teams are playing a lot of other Pacific Division teams. And if you're the Edmonton Oilers right now sitting outside of the playoff window, you take a look out and see all of these teams playing and go, please don't go to overtime. Because that means 2 points turns into a maximum of 3 points, and every team involved is now a point ahead or have an extra point than when they came into, or than with what they came in. You know what I'm saying. They have an extra point. Either way, and that is what the Edmonton Oilers need to really clean up is the defensive game. And if they're able to put that together, especially with a forward line that knows how to organize themselves defensively, I think it's going to be massive for the Edmonton Oilers down the stretch and massive for teams and games that they're playing within the division. So that leads into the third mock for the lineup for the Edmonton Oilers. As again, the top two lines stay the same. Hyman, McDavid, Puljujärvi, Fogle, Ryan, Nugent-Hopkins, and Yamamoto. But we had a little bit of fun with this one. How about Janmark, McLeod, and Costin? And then Holloway, Hamblin, and Ryan. No Devin Shore. I know that Either way, it is what it is. But I'm having fun with this one because Hamblin and Holloway, when playing together, played very well together. I like the line personally of Yanmark, McLeod, and Costin, so you can sit there and have a hard-hitting, fast-paced line while still being, again, defensively organized as well. A couple guys who are very good in their own end, very good in the transition game. And I genuinely think Matthias Yanmark has had a very quietly solid season. With that fourth line as well, with Hamblin and Holloway, Derek Ryan adds a little bit of experience on that line. But that line, too, had a lot of success when they were playing together as the third line for the Edmonton Oilers. So, all things considered, it's basically going to be Shore or Hamblin coming in, most likely Shore. I don't think there's going to be too much of a scramble, but you never know with Jay Woodcroft. There can be a little bit of here and there with him, but you never know. Let me know what you think. What would you do with the Lions for the Edmonton Oilers without Leon Draisaitl? Either way, the Edmonton Oilers could be without Connor McDavid if they don't get him any protection, as there's been some players around the league taking liberties on the greatest player in the world, and it's starting to really irritate a lot of Edmonton Oilers fans. So, who is available and who could be the best possible, not really replacement, but best possible player to help add some grit and grime to the Edmonton Oilers? Well, we have four players that we want to talk about here and compare to the current Edmonton Oilers roster to see how they would fit on the Edmonton Oilers and see who is the best fit for the Edmonton Oilers. Either way, that'll come up in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends from every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball. And yes, I know the World Cup is over, but that doesn't mean exciting soccer isn't still happening, as the club competitions are coming back. La Liga just came back today. Ligue 1 came back yesterday. Heck, Premier League has been going on since Boxing Day. How have you not been watching that football? That's been insane. Either way, if you love sports podcasts, which if you're listening to this one, you probably do, you can find those at Bet Online as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories around the sports world in 20 minutes or less, plus instant reactions, game recaps, and Locked On's take of the day. Locked On Sports Today, available on YouTube and wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty. Well, after the Battle of Alberta, wrapping up, we have another storyline to talk about, of course, naturally, as we always do, but this one is around the safety and protection of Connor McDavid. As once again, Connor McDavid takes a suspect hit to his knee in the building that he had to eventually end up having an absolutely grueling road back after a disgusting knee injury in the Saddle Dome at the same end of the ice to the same part of the body. And what happens? What do the Edmonton Oilers do? Nothing. Nothing. The best player in the world is taking suspect hit after suspect hit after suspect hit. And you know who's doing something about it? Nobody. Now, I know a lot of people in this area and a lot of people who love the Edmonton Oilers and watch the Edmonton Oilers and listen to this show I've watched the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s and had the heyday of, Wayne Gretzky and Dave Semenko was always there by his side, because if you ever thought about touching Gretzky, you had to go through Semenko first. That's hockey. That's how you protect your players. But now I'm hearing discourse around Edmonton media going, yeah, but that's not the team that you built. That's not the type of players that the Edmonton Oilers have. And? So what? We have seen night after night after night Connor McDavid get hit and hit and hit and punished, and nobody does a thing. Once Darnell Nurse tried to do something to Alex Edler, and the ref protected Edler more than the player who is on the ground injured and is the face of your league. And if you go and ask the league how they feel they've been policing and protecting their stars, they'll sit there and go, yeah, we're doing fine. Really? Because as Brendan Escott said on Oilers Now today, what stars are they protecting? Because the best player in the world is getting hit and pulled and tugged. It's hockey. Fair enough. What is hockey without the physicality? But if you do have the physicality, and if you have the player who is going through all this physicality, well, you better have someone who's going to stand up for that player. And right now, the Edmonton Oilers don't. Yes, Evander Kane is injured. Sure, I understand that. And you can only do so much as a defenseman protecting those players. Because, yes, the puck ended up going the other way. And as a defenseman, your first thing you have to deal with is making sure that puck doesn't go into the net. Fair enough. I'll give Darnell Nurse his due. But throughout the rest of the game, Ryan Rashog even said on his podcast, saying he messaged somebody in the stadium at the time saying, am I missing something? Are the Edmonton Oilers doing anything to try and rectify what Mackenzie Weegar just did to Connor McDavid? And his response from his source was nothing. Silence. Nada. Zero. Zilch. The Edmonton Oilers don't have that player, and at least on the ice or in the lineup right now. You can make the argument for Evander Kane, sure, whatever. But then Evander Kane comes back into the lineup. Something like that happens. Evander Kane goes after the player, and the Edmonton Oilers get a penalty or a 5-on-5 a fighting major, and now Evander Kane isn't on the ice for 5 minutes. And now we have the discourse of going, can you really have Evander Kane sitting in the penalty box for 5 minutes? Yes, Evander Kane can help, but there are options around the league who can make sure that it doesn't happen again. Or at least if it does, whoever does it is going to know that they are going to be in for a very, very, very long night. And I found four of them. That is a very long way to getting into four potential targets for the Edmonton Oilers in their forward core, to add to their forward core, to get some grit, to get that bodyguard for Connor McDavid. No, he doesn't have to play with Connor McDavid. And I understand, you know what? Hey, who's on the ice at the time of the knee on knee? Zach Hyman, yes, a Puljujärvi. Maybe Hyman can come over there and give him something. We've seen that once from him before, but he's not Zach Cassian. He's not. We all know Jesse Puljujärvi. And we talked about the defensive situation. The puck ended up going the other way, and Cody Ceci and Darnell Nurse aren't about to go and shed mitts when it's an odd man rush the other way. They're just not. Fair enough. I'll give them that. But you still have 40-odd minutes left in this game where you can sit there and look at Mackenzie Weegar the entire game and go, next time you're out there, bud, you're going to pay. Or then you start playing hard on Huberdeau and Kadri.
But the Edmonton Oilers don't have that guy. Clem Costin can only do so much. So, four guys who can do so. Do that for the Edmonton Oilers. But the other thing, too, is that these players also need to add something on the ice. They can't be a Zach Cassian. The Edmonton Oilers just moved on from a Zach Cassian. So what would be the point of just bringing in another Zach Cassian who goes out there and is just, in the nicest way possible, a meathead? Nicest way possible. In the hockey sense, a meathead. That's what you need to have. A player who can go out there and do something, not only with their fists or their physicality, but with their play as well. So I have four suitors, three of them fight, one of them not so much, but is one of the league leaders in hits and also really, really enjoys the gritty parts and will help the Edmonton Oilers defensive game as well. We'll talk about that player last, and that is actually a player the Edmonton Oilers have been linked to a little bit as well. But the three other players, one of them I think is a little bit more of a long shot, but you never know. Another one is a division rival, but I think he's been one of the bright spots on a team that has had a lot of negativity surrounding them. And the second one, you know what? I'm just going to get into him right now, as he is one of the more popular names. And honestly, I think one of the best candidates to do the job of basically a Dave Semenko 2.0. And that's Zach MacEwen from the Philadelphia Flyers. Zachary MacEwen, I have had my eyes on for a couple of years now. We talked about Zach MacEwen numerous times on this program. But the one thing that Zach, I almost called him Zach Stortini. Shout out Zach Stortini. The one thing Zach MacEwen doesn't really do is the offensive game. As his goals for per 60 minutes sits there. And if he were on the Edmonton Oilers right now, he would be 16th on the team at both 5-on-5 and in all situations. In all situations, he has a goals for per 60 minutes at a 1.84. And then at 5-on-5, he has it at a 1.86. But his defensive game would put him in the top 10 of the Edmonton Oilers. In fact, both stats, he would be 6th in goals against per 60 minutes in both 5-on-5 and in all situations. In all situations, he has a 2.38 goals against per 60 minutes. And at 5-on-5, he has an even 2. So, especially playing on a pretty bad team in Philadelphia, you can have all the superlatives you want about the Philadelphia Flyers, but they're not great. And being able to put up defensive numbers like that tells you there may be a little more to that player, especially in a spot that the Edmonton Oilers need help in. He understands how to play in his own end, and maybe as well, he doesn't play penalty-killing minutes for the Flyers right now, but he could, looking at these numbers, potentially play in and on the penalty kill. Now, how about those gritty stats? How about those stats that we really care about to protect Connor McDavid? Fair enough. 102 hits for Zach MacEwen. Yeah, 102, which would easily put him at first on the Edmonton Oilers, where Jesse Puljujärvi leads the Oilers right now in hits with 74. Yeah, 74. You would be adding 102 hits to the team. And then, not to mention, he's not afraid to shed those mitts either. Four fights already for MacEwen this year. And I believe it was Bob Stauffer was mentioning this too. He's not the best fighter by any means, but he is intimidating and he goes out there and plays for the logo on the front of the jersey. And for the other players who are wearing the same logo in front of their jerseys. Meaning Connor McDavid. Zach MacEwen, almost called him Zach Hyman there. There'd be way too many Zachs on this team. Zach MacEwen would really help the Edmonton Oilers in that sense. And again, he's not a guy who's going to be playing with Connor McDavid probably ever. But it's the matter of if something like that does happen to Connor McDavid again, you're able to neutralize it a little bit here. The second name, this one is a little bit of a long shot, I think. He's on a very, very good Boston Bruins team. I don't think they're too interested in moving a bottom six player who is very, very, very effective for them unless they have somebody who can step into that role right now. Maybe that's an AJ Greer, whoever that may be. But my player is Trent Frederick. Now, Trent Frederick has had a very interesting year so far for the Boston Bruins. Can put the puck in the net or at least produce some scoring chances. So much so that he was on the Edmonton Oilers. He would be seventh on the Oilers in goals for per 60 minutes in all situations. And then at 5-on-5, he would be first at goals for per 60 minutes on the Edmonton Oilers. Yes, first, Trent Frederick at goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. Then his defense is basically follows. He would sit first and second on the Edmonton Oilers when it comes to goals against per 60 minutes in all situations and at 5-on-5. In all situations, he sits at a 1.15, and at 5-on-5, he sits at a 1.22. You're looking for forwards who can help in more ways than just protecting Connor McDavid. There's a player who does that. Now, right now, he wouldn't exactly be too high on the Edmonton Oilers hit list. He only has 56 hits on the year, which would put him fourth on the Oilers. But he does have three fighting majors so far this year, ready and willing to drop the gloves and be a combatant in the game and protect his players. So a guy who can do it all, add offense, add defense to your bottom six, and as well add some grit to the bottom six as well. I think Trent Frederick would be a fantastic add for the Edmonton Oilers. But here's a dark horse here for you. This guy has been playing on a very storied team and not for the best of reasons recently, at least this year. For the Vancouver Canucks, he has been a bright spot for the team, and it's only really his first full season in the NHL. That's what kind of excites me about this kid. Dakota Joshua for the Vancouver Canucks. I sit there and I see a guy who's playing in the NHL. And yes, that sounds weird. They're all playing in the NHL. But he's a guy who's not only playing in the NHL, but every night he goes and steps on the ice, he's fighting for a spot in the NHL. And he goes out there and does it well. Dakota Joshua might not have the best stats. Again, he's one of those guys who just fighting to be in the NHL right now, or at least the mentality he's playing with. Playing on a very interesting team in Vancouver, but he's been given a lot of solid opportunities, top six opportunities as well, opportunities to go out there and make a mark on the game. And so far he has. He also has three fighting majors so far. He's a tough customer, would sit two hits behind Jesse Puljujärvi for the team lead in hits with 74. He has 72. He would be a cheap option, and you hear Vancouver sit there and go, everyone is available, except for Elias Pettersson, but everyone is available. So, heck, why not poach from your own division? Just go, hey, we like this guy. We'll give you a fifth-round pick, whatever. Okay, yeah, sure, whatever. Here's Dakota Joshua, and they'll call up somebody else. At least, hopefully. That's the whole premise. But probably Vancouver sees the same thing that I do in Joshua and sees a kid who's going out there every night, playing hard, giving his team the best possible opportunity to win because of the way he plays. So Dakota Joshua, Vancouver, maybe a player to poach out as well. Now the final name for the Edmonton Oilers to add some grit and some sort of semblance of organization to the bottom six as well. And that's Noel Achari for the St. Louis Blues. His name has been linked to the Edmonton Oilers a couple times so far this year. Plays, as mentioned, for the St. Louis Blues, but has been one of the better bottom six guys in the entire league. Wins faceoffs like nobody else, really, in the, especially in the St. Louis Blues organization right now. Really adds defensive depth as well. At 5-on-5, he'd be sixth at goals against per 60 minutes with a 2.01. But then he can also play on the penalty kill as well. Has been playing on the PK for the Blues right now. He has a 12.06 goals against per 60 minutes, which would put him 12th on the Edmonton Oilers, but he's still playing on the penalty kill, and you're still adding a penalty killer while you're at it. He doesn't have any fights, though. That is the one thing where you're like, maybe you want to see a little more out of him, but he does have 111 hits. 111. So there's some give and there's some take. You'll take the 111 hits. You'll love the 111 hits, but can you take the zero fights? I don't know. What do you guys think? Who do you think is the best possible option for the Edmonton Oilers to add some grit to that bottom six and finally have some protection for Connor McDavid? For the love of God, please protect your star. Please. Because we're sitting here after every game having the same conversation. The same conversation. Especially against the Calgary Flames. Oh, look, the Oilers got bullied by the Calgary Flames again. And yes, I forget who, I think it was Louis DeBrusk said after the game, going, yes, you know, the Calgary Flames were the more physical team throughout the whole game and the whole series as well in the playoffs. But you step away, and who won the game against, or the game on the weekend? The Oilers. Who ended up winning the playoff series? The Oilers. Who ended up winning the season series? The Oilers. No, they weren't the toughest team by any means in the series, but they were the better team. So there's the other end of the argument, whatever. You let me know. Where do you stand on this? I'm sure you stand in a very similar situation, but either way, let me know. Let's move on to wrap up today's episode, as the Edmonton Oilers had their skills competition yesterday. And some pretty interesting results. No, I'm not going to talk about really the whole event, but I'm going to talk about some of the interesting results in there, because I think if you would have given me 18 chances to guess the winners of any of these competitions, I don't think I'd be winning anything back. Either way, we'll talk about that in a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by the NHTSA. You're hanging out with some friends and you're putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many, and as the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby and you can make it home okay. It's no big deal. Plus, what are the odds you're going to get pulled over anyways? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk, yet the results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop some people from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. And that's why police officers are out there looking for impaired drivers right now, to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life forever. Or someone else's. Drive sober or get pulled over. Alrighty, as we wrap up today's episode with the skills competition, the Edmonton Oilers had their annual skills competition last night at Rogers Place. Some pretty fun events, including a pretty viral moment right now on hockey Twitter, as the Edmonton Oilers and the Edmonton Oilers dogs, had a little bit of fun as they had a little relay race with, I believe it was Derek Ryan, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Connor McDavid, as Lenny would go on to win the title or whatever it was that they were doing. Fun, fun little event. You love seeing those types of things. Seeing a lot of really fun things on Twitter, too, of people meeting Klim Kostin, Cody Ceci, getting to hug them and stuff like that. So it's a great event. You love seeing that these events. Leon Draisaitl, of course, did not participate in the event. Philip Broberg did, which is interesting considering he was billed to be out for about a month. But sit there and you go, fastest skater, oh, duh, Connor McDavid. He didn't participate, which honestly is fair. But I think if I gave you six guesses without you knowing who actually won the competition, if I gave you six guesses to guess who would win or who won the fastest skater, you would never get it. I'll give you three right now. Go. First one. No. Second one. Go. No, not him either. Third one? No, no. It was Markus Niemelainen. Yeah. Markus Niemelainen is the fastest Edmonton Oiler after skating two laps around Rogers Place. Niemelainen. So now you sit. So this is why I bring this up. Because you sit there and you go, oh, it's Niemelainen. He's a big bumbling skater, blah, blah, blah. But then you sit here and you go, oh, you just put up a 26.27 in two laps around Rogers Place. Faster than Kyler Yamamoto, Dylan Holloway, James Hamblin, Matthias Janmark, and Klim Kostin. All smooth skaters, all very good skaters, all fast skaters, all outpaced by a 6'8" defenseman. So, and this is why, again, this is why I find these results interesting, because then you start to see the raw talent of these players. And then now as fans, you get to sit back and go, well, why isn't this guy doing this? Because now you know they can skate like that. Heck, Connor McDavid predicted that James Hamblin or Dylan Holloway would win, or I think it was Yamamoto and Holloway, to win this event. And it was Markus Niemelainen. Now, you got to think about it. Yes, he's got the longer strides, and that may help him. But let's see that now. The Edmonton Oilers sent down Markus Niemelainen to help him with his puck skills. Came back, ended up getting an assist, I believe, recently in the last couple of games here for the Edmonton Oilers. But maybe he can help with the transition game. If he can skate, he can obviously prove he can skate. Why not have him be a very difficult guy to get off the puck in the transition? Let him be a guy who can, hey, we all know how well he can hit. We know he hits that well, probably because he's a good skater. Now we're seeing it. And then you go to the hardest shot and you go, oh, okay, well, probably Evan Bouchard. You know, we all know, oh, it's a Bouch bomb. Oh! Or Darnell Nurse, maybe he can slip in there. He's a big lad. No, neither of those guys win. You know who wins? Brett Kulak. Yeah, Brett Kulak has the hardest shot on the Edmonton Oilers with a 97.7. Kulak? Really? Because now you're sitting here and going, why isn't Kulak shooting the puck more? The guy's obviously got a hard and heavy shot. Let him shoot more. Second was Bouchard. In fact, third was Philip Broberg, which I was surprised about. And Klim Kostin, who also had a heavier shot than both Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci, who came last in the hardest shot. Now, the thing, too, about the hardest shot is normally you only get like one or three tries or probably two tries. And then if you hit the first one, like you top it, it's like 15, whatever. You can have a bad competition, but still a 97.7 for Brett Kulak. Let him shoot more. Now, I know every time he shoots the puck, it's not going to be a 97-7. But just get some sort of juice. Look at how often Evan Bouchard finds the shin guard of the opposition, of the first guy. That's the important thing, is as Evan Bouchard says, for the most important thing for a defenseman shooting the puck from the point is making sure it gets through the first guy. Let Kulak do that a little more. A hard, heavy shot and a quick shot will get through any first guy. It doesn't matter. Let him shoot more. I dig it. And you're learning that Costin can shoot a puck at 95.9, too. Heck, 96, basically. And then the accuracy, this one, not too shocking, as Ryan Nugent-Hopkins goes 4-for-4 in 9.31 seconds, excuse me. McDavid came second with a 4-5 and a 9.81. Derek Ryan came third, going 4-for-6. And Warren Fogle 4-for-8 there. So that one not so surprising, but the fastest skater and the hardest shot gives me maybe a little bit of hope, but more of just going, okay, show us now. We've seen this. We know you can do it. Go out and do it. But this segment was also supposed to be a Bakersfield Condors report, because we didn't do one this week and we won't do one tomorrow. So I just want to give a quick report, as a couple of very interesting results for the Condors over the past week, as they would win 5-1 against the San Jose Barracuda earlier this week. Raphaël Lavoie getting a goal and an assist, getting 2 points, a game that he needed. That's good for the Edmonton Oilers to see some progress and development in Lavoie's game, especially with the games he's missed, getting scratched, hasn't really been too great this season, but that's good to see. Carter Savoy as well, also getting a goal in that one, a one-timer. They won that game against the San Jose Barracuda 5-1, and then would go on to play the Calgary Wranglers and lose 9-2. 9-2. So a lot of questions being raised right now down in Bakersfield, especially around the coaching staff, being if their distribution of some of the younger players, and they haven't been a very good team this year. So some questions being asked. Very interesting what's going on down there. But either way, there's a quick Bakersfield Condors report and the skills competition as well, wrapped up into one. Let's wrap up today's episode as well, as this is the second last episode of 2022. That is amazing. We will get more into kind of a year in review or whatever tomorrow, but we will also have pregame of the second last game of the Edmonton Oilers 2022 year, as they go on to play the Seattle Kraken in Seattle for an 8 o'clock puck drop at Climate Pledge Arena. We will have a full pregame for that one tomorrow. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Stay safe. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Hopefully at the end of it, we can play La Bamba, baby.